Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's been a while since we last spoke about SAA. It's a key business, as we know, in South Africa as a state-owned entity, and has really gone through quite a few adventures, literally, in terms of it potentially being acquired at one point by Takatso Consortium and then having the deal fall through. From what we do see, though, now, the revamped and now almost profitable SAA is looking to attract a potential suitor. That's from the rumor mill that we do understand is taking place in industry. But to help us contextualize the story, understand where SAA stands at the moment in terms of its profitability, operations, and if it still makes sense to keep it under the realm of government ownership, we're joined by aviation expert Guy Leach. Always a pleasure to touch base with you, Guy.
Yeah, hi, nice to be with you. Good evening, everyone.
Fantastic. SAA has kept us quiet for some time, but of course, making a way in the headlines where we do see that it is looking to attract a new suitor. But before we get there, maybe let's just start on its financial position. I haven't been able to dig up any numbers on its profitability, but are things looking more favorable now?
Well, so we are told, but you did right. You're not able to dig up any numbers on profitability because they're not out there. Mm-hmm. So the airline's playing its cards quite close to its chest. Professor John Momoda, the interim CEO, assures me that they're operating profitably. But now, operating profitably doesn't really mean that you're making a profit all the way down to the bottom line. Because, you know, you can hide all sorts of other expenses outside of operations, particularly, obviously, sort of head office costs and marketing costs and all these sort of things. So, it may well be operating profitably. Certainly, a cursory look at the routes that it's flying with its loads and probable yields, which means the sort of the funds, the money that's been paid for the tickets, would suggest that it's covering its direct operating costs. Whether it continue to do that without further capital injection, I honestly don't know. Your guess is as good as mine because the numbers aren't available. But, you know, I'm always happy to give Prof. Lamona and anyone else who's prepared to put his neck on the line the benefit of the doubt if he says that they're operating profitably. And to be fair, they haven't gone back to government and asked them for more money yet. And they're assuring us that they're not ever going to do that. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot to at least be grateful for in terms of the way it's currently being run.
Got you. I guess for anyone who might want to pick up a stake in the operator, they always say, what, if you want to become a millionaire, start with a billion, then buy an airline and you'll have a million.
But that's absolutely true. It's a great quote, that.
Yeah. 100%. Let's talk about the potential suitors, because for the last few months we have been hearing about potential partnerships to actually bring in the private sector, as we've heard from ministers like Kgotsi Ramakgopa. We've also heard that there are international organizations like Qatar Airlines who've also been eyeing out a few airlines south of the African hemisphere. Your take as to, number one, the kind of suitor that would be keen to actively own or participate or operate SAA, and then secondly, what it would take for us to attract them and if it would be the right move?
Yeah, well, good question, because it's quite a complex one, and there are a number of different angles to it. So yes, Qatar has certainly sort of set the cat amongst the pigeons by saying that it was going to announce an acquisition or a partnership with a Southern African airline, and note that it was a Southern African airline. There was a red herring about a week ago when suddenly there was a report saying that it was going to be Airlink, and that turns out not to really be the case at this stage. And I think that one of the key considerations for whether Qatar would get involved with a South African airline is the law. And the law currently restricts foreign ownership or non-resident ownership of South African airlines to 25%. And that would be quite a big obstacle to overcome. Already we've seen a lot of noise in the media over the last 2 or 3 months with FlySafe Air's competitors complaining that it is not compliant with the 25% foreign ownership rule. So that by itself makes it unlikely that a foreign airline would want to get involved, because it's unlikely to get involved with such a small shareholding. It means it would have minimal control. And the history of SAA is that it's always suffered from government interference. There's a lot of pressure on an airline, whether, as your last speaker was saying, to increase its diversity ratings, its BDE, contracting relationships, and so on. And more particularly, to fly to destinations which may be unprofitable for the sake of political reasons. One of the most spectacular of those was when SAA flew to Beijing and it was losing over R1 million on every flight. Mm-hmm. Any investor would want an absolute top-to-bottom guarantee. The government was going to stay out of it. There are precedents. Ethiopian government stays well out of management and interference with the airline, but the history is not good in SAA's case. So the question was, well, is there a South African suitor likely? And honestly, my view is that I can't imagine one because, again, the airline is an incredibly difficult business to run. It is very capital intensive, as we've seen, because it's now screaming out for more capital. And it is very skills intensive, so they want skills to come in. And yet the margins are absolutely paper thin. So it's a very difficult business to make money in. But we saw this interest from the Tukatsa Consortium, which kind of proved me wrong 3 or 4 years ago. But who knows? There's probably a fair chance that a South Africa investor could actually be emerging in.
Sure. Even if I had the billions, I'm not too sure I'd be that brave. But something else that we need to consider, aside from the capital and the private participation in terms of operations, is labor. And NUMSA has been very clear about their stance around a takeover or purchasing of the airline. They at some point even tried to buy SA Airlink, if I'm not mistaken, by forming a consortium that was started by employees and workers of the business. Your stance on that particular complexity, the participation and inclusion, which is important, of labor?
Well, I'm not sure that NUMSA would try to buy Airlink. I think they're trying to buy SA Express.
Yes.
And they're also, by the way, trying to save Mango, which is also an extremely long shot. I'll get to your question, but I think that the real issue at hand right now is that government itself doesn't seem to know what it wants to do with SAA. And on the one hand, we've had Deputy President Paul Mashatile say that SAA must be sold off. Government has no business running an airline. And world practice certainly agrees with them. Government doesn't really ever manage to succeed in running an airline. And Ramaphosa saying that no, the airline shouldn't be sold off, but it should be put in a separate holding company with a whole bunch of other toxic assets. And until government comes up with a clear cabinet-agreed policy as to what should happen with the airline, there ain't going to be movement there. And it'll continue to give space or gap to the unions. But let's look at Airlink. Airlink is owned by, or the majority shareholders are, what should we put it? There are labor companies involved. There are labor unions involved. It's got a very broad shareholding and a very progressive shareholding. So one of the best solutions here is to simply give labor an equity stake in the airline. And so everyone shares in the profits. But again, you need to make sure that the airline's going to run profitably.
Very true. Guy, we'll have to leave it there for today. But I guess, are there any views or expectations we should have as citizens? Or what should we eye out or be cautious of regarding any movements around an entity like SAA?
SAA is short in capital. It cannot expand its routes. It cannot grow its fleet beyond, currently 13, maybe 20. It certainly can't grow beyond 20 without a massive injection of capital. And it's not able to operate some of the routes it's operating profitably. For instance, Perth. It needs to be flying at least once a day to Perth. So it needs new airplanes. And it's going to come to, I fear it's going to have to come to the state for guarantees on leases to buy aircraft. It's promised it's not guaranteed, but that's the big one we're all watching out for.
Perfect. Always a pleasure speaking to you, Guy. I truly appreciate it.
My pleasure. Absolutely. Thanks a lot. Cheers for now.
Thank you. Bye. That's aviation expert Guy Leach helping us revisit some themes that we've seen around SAA. As we've heard the deputy president there at the weekend essentially saying, well, hold on, this could be an asset that could again be put up for sale with private investors participating. Share your thoughts, 086-00-00959 is the number you can dial. Also, more than happy for you to share your voice notes on 063-688-0959. Just before we take an ad break, there was a conversation we held earlier with Israel Noko, essentially talking about the slow rate of transformation at certain listed entities. Dis-Chem, certainly one that's been in the headlines of late yet again. And a few of you have responded with your tweets here. Bonzo Khadise says, corporate SA is where apartheid lives. Job Reservation Act in full effect. Good Dis-Chem. Yeah, very important point that you're mentioning there. But I guess also fair that we do reflect on what the challenges are. Typically, they always say it's labor. But if there's anything, we have seen that there's been a strong development of talent in South Africa that is capable, fit and viable to actually participate in these positions. So where have we gone wrong? Does BEE need a look over? How best can we get corporates to comply? Because seemingly fines at some point won't be enough.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.